Hello and welcome to the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Welcome to this League 2 edition. Briefly last week we were a 2, then we were a 1. Muzz, we're back to being a 2, but I think this is the only combination we've not had for a while. Me and you.
Yeah, I think you mentioned last time, I think James deserved some sort of a longevity award for his consistency and services to lower league fans. So I think he deserves a wee dropout. We're both in similar employment and it can be inconceivably busy sometimes. So.
I believe it's a busy period just now. He's on for player of the season so far, but can't get complacent, you know.
True. I'm ready to step in off the bench whenever.
Yeah, to be fair, you've been limber up for a week, or 2 weeks since the last one, to be fair. So, like I said, this week, three mini episodes, one per division, as per usual, Championship, League 1, League 2. Excitement, to be fair, across all the leagues. This is League 2 edition. If you want some more analysis or interested to know what's happening in the Championship and League 1, then be sure and check those episodes out as well. They're all roughly similar length of time. Before we get into it, do us a favour, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Like I said last week, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, get yourself onto YouTube and like the video as well. To raise brand awareness would be much appreciated. Muzz, I flew solo last week, and to be fair, in my predictions, I backed three homes, which were probably the three easiest predictions we could have got all season, but they all came in relatively straightforwardly, so we'll just kind of go through them one by one. Kelty Hearts, just a solid 1-0 victory at home to Stranraer, which I'm giving myself credit for the prediction, but I think the vast majority of people would have backed that.
Yeah, and the only thing that people might have gone for would be a bit of a more convincing scoreline. Mm-hmm. But Kelty have done that a couple of times this season. They sort of maybe ground it out a wee bit more. But I think that's a sign of a team that are like, you know, like, not,
I guess they just do what they need to.
Well, I don't know, or they're showing enough respect to the opposition because they've got a lot of experienced players, but they know that they're a club that have just joined the league. But I mean, I was looking at their lineup again, it's mad how good it is. Like, you know, Ware, Forster at the back, a midfield of Black, Tidskerber, Jonas, Cardle, Higginbottom, off Austin. It really is like, I mean, that squad could compete in the Championship quite happily on paper.
Austin's flying, so, isn't it?
I think, but credit due to Stranraer as well for keeping it pretty respectable. That's they've flirted with taking points off a lot of teams, Stranraer, this season, but it's just they've not quite got going yet in any kind of semblance of a run. They've had a couple of wins, two in the last four, so it looked a wee bit like they're turning the corner for a bit, but. But there's no shame in going to Kelty and losing 1-0.
I think, to be fair, from having a look at it, the possession was much the same, and it was much a shame in terms of shots and shots on target. So we've said for a while, Stranraer are just kind of missing that final third, aren't they? Because solid players kind of back to front. You look at the goals, you know, they've conceded 11 and 8, which isn't ideal, but it's not the worst by any sort of means. But they've only scored 6. So it looks
like
the final third that's costing them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The scorers in the league, actually, just looking at that.
Yeah. I'm not surprised to see that one. There's no, they lost Peyton Bazaar. So they lost, not to mention, obviously, Duffy.
He took a step back and then he came back briefly and got an injury, didn't he?
Yeah, then he got injured. So they're needing a focal point in front because Yates is still young. And they're kind of having to rely on him right now. I should be. That'll be a welcome return. But to be fair to him as well, he's really been prolific.
He needs players off.
Did have a good burst for Anaheim. But they definitely need to address that because, like you say, the goal difference, you know, 11 conceded, it's not alarming. Because a lot of teams around them and below them have kind of got the same, but they've got that -5 goal deficit because they're not scoring enough. So I don't know, the loan window, could they do some business? You'd like to think so.
You'd think Hamill would have the connections as well to get some boys in, but definitely a position that they need to strengthen moving forward. One team going by Saturday that's not lacking the goal scoring front, Stirling Albion, popping 4 past Cowden. And see, I haven't seen the Cowden team you expect them when they lose to kind of still make a game of it. You'd seen it the week before, they kind of hung on against Forfar. They lost a goal after 20-odd minutes. They hung on, then they got a point, scoring after 82. But on Saturday, it looks kind of relatively convincing, doesn't it? I know two of the goals were in the last 10 minutes, but I think Stirling Albion had it all their own way.
Aye, that was the first thing that crossed my mind was that Cowdenbeath team. It was pretty much full strength. Mm-hmm. So as that's a wee bit of a worry for them to take that such a heavy defeat. But Stirling Albion themselves were also full strength, and I think that's for the first time in quite a while they've had pretty much everyone fit after the COVID problems. So when you see a fully strength Stirling Albion line up against a fully strength Cowdenbeath, there should only be one result, and I think that was a fair reflection of where both the teams are at. 13 shots, 7 on target for Albion, which is a pretty good return. 4 different goal scorers, Leach assisting too as well, chipping in, and he got his rightful place in the SPFL Team of the Week.
He's so, kicking on, isn't he, Leach?
Just a great day at the office, and Mackin again seems to be a real consistent figure in that team. I believe he's set himself a good target over the summer to get in good shape, and I think that's paying dividends. I was speaking to Bill Orr at Stirling Albion, and he was lavishing praise on Dylan Mackin and how his attitude has been recently. And you know, there's no surprise sort of matching that with the form that he's been delivering recently, because we've spoke about it before how we're kind of the consensus is as good as anyone on his day as a target man striker. So it's looking rosy for Stirling Albion again, you know, 4 points off Kelty, back with a fully fit squad. So
They're doing all right, aren't they? 13 points at the last 15. I think their only slip up was that 2 each, wasn't it, away at Edinburgh City? That they absolutely dominated, to be fair. They absolutely battered Edinburgh City, didn't they? That's been their slip up in the last 5. They've won the rest. Like you say, now they're getting players back. They're forced to be reckoned with, and it's just kind of clinging on to Kelty, because Kelty haven't hit a bump yet, is it? So for Stirling Albion, it's just kind of keeping tabs on Kelty. I think they play each other at the end of October through in Kelty, which will be a massive game. But Stirling Albion can't afford to drop any points between now and then.
No, exactly. And like we were just saying, Kelty, they've not hit a bump in any game where they've been tight or maybe not being quite at it. They've managed to come away with maybe a late goal, or as it was on Saturday, an early goal, and see the game out. So it's a cliche, but sometimes I don't mind the cliche, because quite often you find with cliches they're true, and that's why they're used. But it is a cliche that it is a sign of a good team and a strong team and a team with that are on the ball when that kind of thing happens. So I think when they go to Annan next week, when they host Annan next week, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of the same. Annan will give them a good run for the money, and it'll be up to Kelty to just get that fixture over the line again. Another tough one the week after away at Edinburgh. So, but on their day, if they turn up, I think there'll be a few teams that'll take a spanking off them as well.
Aye, we'll come to Annan. Just to round off my kind of trifecta of easy predictions, you'll be delighted to see for Forfar, Anderson's back, played 90 minutes. Monroe's back, played 90 minutes. I'm sure Travis was on the bench. So it's no coincidence either, talking about teams getting players fit, that they've hit a bit of form, now they're getting these players back.
Yeah, and they're getting players back, and they're getting players finding real form, like Slater.
Apparently he was outstanding on Saturday.
Absolutely. Aye, outstanding. And I don't know if Andy Monroe's come in and just shoulder barged Michael Travis out of the team.
Seems that way.
I think they're trying to, maybe it's a sort of tactical move by Irvine, and that he's maybe, that's Monroe back from fitness, he's given Monroe the start to get match fitness up, and maybe resting Travis, because Travis is still coming back from long-term injuries, and he's maybe still kind of keeping him on ice a wee bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's a gamble that if it is a tactical decision, there's no risk putting Andy Monroe in for Travis. So no matter who you're playing in that division, I think so. It's good to see them back, and I don't know. I wonder if that's going to tempt Irvin to switch to a back three.
Still got White to come back. Strengths.
Yeah, yeah. If he gets three out of four of them, injury free and firing. But then, because they've hit a blip until that game, they went through a bad run. So a change up of ideas might not have been completely out of the equation. But they've been 4-4-2 now for three, four seasons, I think. So I can understand why maybe, and Irvin's been there for that whole spell. I can understand why he doesn't want to mess with it. But, that's maybe out of the question at the moment because of that's a convincing victory that's kind of got them back a bit.
I was saying last week that although Forfar's form hadn't been great, that 11, I'm really liking the look of the shape of that 4-4-2. Like you say, it is an option for them to change it, but now he's getting the bodies back. Like, you're looking at that 11, I'd say, is up there with arguably a Kelty and a Stirling Albion. If you've got McCallum and goals, Meekin and Strachan at fullback, two from three or four of Anderson, Munro, Travis, White when he comes back. I really like Thompson. I liked him at Airdrie. I thought in flashes last season he was really good for Airdrie. I like his width, he's direct, he gets deliveries into the box. And Shepherd and Aitken causing, like you say, Slater's flying as well, isn't he? And Shepherd and Aitken are a good front too. So they're 11 I really like. I'm not sure about their depth. I know they've got like Anderson and PJ Crossan and stuff. Other than at centre half, I think they're lacking a wee bit of depth.
Brought Harkins on, I'd noticed, against Albion Rovers, but that they brought him on at 3-0 up. And Harkins, that's a good opportunity to give him a run out. But I know what you mean. It's like the backup they do have is kind of on the even Grant Anderson now. It's on the aged side where they maybe kind of like legs are going and things like that. So that's the only that I agree with that. You look at their bench and it's either apart from maybe PJ Crossan and Travis, it's either young untested players or it's players like at the twilight of their career.
Harkins, so, Anderson. I'm sure Doris is still as well, isn't he? Although I don't think he was in the squad on Saturday. I don't know if he's got a wee knock.
Aye. So yeah, there's a bit of like a transition period there, but like you say, they're starting 11. It's second to none.
And so that was my three bankers. Moving on. You touched on Anne and there. I'd back them for a draw, especially at home against Edinburgh City. Shock result for Edinburgh City. I know Anne got the man sent off, but they actually scored after they got the man sent off and they'd conceded all three goals prior to the red card. I think it was Matty Douglas, wasn't it? So Edinburgh City, they're another one that are kind of kicking on a wee bit, finding themselves a wee bit of form. Three wins in the last four. How did you see that one going prior to it?
Gone down the line of a draw as well. I think it would be a tough one to call because Edinburgh City have suddenly turned things around after a really ropey start to the season. And Annan, I still consider them pretty unpredictable, but their form was suggesting that they could easily win that fixture. So, like you say, the red card didn't seem to kind of like affect things because it was well home and hosed.
In fact, it sounded like.
Yeah, and I think it was a pretty poor first half performance by Anne, and that's possibly killed them being 2-0 down after the half hour. And James Hilton, popping in with the goal, I think he needed to do that for Edinburgh City because I think he's a big player for them. I thought that was a bit of a coup for them actually.
100%.
If anything, so.
We've spoke about Edinburgh City kind of being defensive before, but they're starting 11 on Saturday, had Handling, Hilton, who you've mentioned, Robertson, C, and Ennis Murray. I don't know if that was kind of injury enforced, but it's worked.
Yeah, I don't know. It's similar to...
They're missing Hamilton and Crane, weren't they? They were missing a good few players, actually.
That's similar to sort of how Airdrie line up in a way. I'm just thinking off the top of my head with a back four, sort of one holder and arguably five attacking midfielders. So, like when they are going forward, overload, lots of football played in the last third. But there's that, a lack of defensive kind of players in the midfield as well. So, it's a bold, quite a bold starting lineup from Edinburgh. But it's obviously paid off for them.
Aye, definitely. And I'm just trying to see, there was a starting 11 from the week before against Stirling. And Crane was out. Lee Hamilton obviously came off with an injury. So a couple of changes from the week before. Danny Jardine and Toshney. There's another two that must be injured because they weren't involved on Saturday. So again, showing the resources that Edinburgh have got, and a very good one for them that I don't think many people saw coming. And then lastly, just to review the results, I thought Stenny had kind of started to turn a corner, but that's a bad loss, isn't it, at home to Elgin? I know Elgin are decent, don't get me wrong, although this season they are sitting on like sixth, where it's 6 points going into it. It's only a point ahead of Stenny going into it, but bad loss for Stenny.
Yeah. The Elgin inconsistent, but Stenny, you know, they're looking to have to beat those teams, the kind of teams around them, that the sort of playoff contenders, especially at home. You're really looking at beating them, and now they're just looking at beating anyone.
Is this showing the gap, Muzz, between League Two and the Lowland League being bigger than we thought? I know at the top you like the Celtics, they've come up obviously absolutely flying, but BSC, I think last season they were maybe like fifth or sixth, and Stephen Swift signed a lot of boys from that Lowland League, and they're struggling. So, if we talk kind of two or three, do you think that's showing there maybe is a wee bit of a gulf between League Two and the Lowland League?
I think there's a gulf between Stenishmuir and BSC. I don't necessarily think there is a gulf in general. It depends. I don't know if there's a massive gulf between your top Lowland League teams and your bottom six League Two teams. But I think there has been, I think he's signed a lot of players, obviously from Lowland Leagues as well, but he's signed a lot of other players and he's had to put together a team from scratch. And I think if you do that at any level, throwing all these players together in a system, it can work both ways. You can hit the ground running or you can struggle to gel. Mm-hmm. And you know, their strikers, their top goal scorer striker is Thomas Orr, and he's got two. Thompson, Christie, one each, and Tierney hasn't scored yet. And that's, you know, Thompson and Orr have played 8 games each, Christie and Tierney 5 appearances each. So it's they're toiling. No goals from midfield, barely either.
I'm speculating as well, but is he struggling to get his best 11? Because you look at it, they got beaten by Stranraer 2 weeks ago, fair enough. He then drops Crichton, Corbett, and Thompson for the next game. Unless there's been a niggle, which fair play, you don't drop Sean Crichton off the back of a defeat. They signed him and they made him the captain almost as soon as he walked in the front door. And now he's in and he's out. Thompson's in and out. Corbett's in and out. Does he just need to get an 11 and just stick with it for 3-4 weeks?
Potentially, I agree with that. Especially messing with not only, like you say, your captain, but your centre-half pairing when you're trying to toil.
He's changed his goalie as well. Mikey Miller came in, played centre mid. Did he play centre mid against Stranraer? Then he's going to right back on Saturday or vice versa. So he's getting punted kind of. So surely you sign Mikey Miller saying he's going to play centre mid for me. You don't sign Mikey Miller and say, I'll try him in centre mid. Right, we've got beat. I'll drop him at right back. Like,
I agree. I can't disagree that. I know there's injuries, COVID, things like that, but. If you're trying to be consistent, build run together, grind out results, messing about with the defence, goalkeeper, I don't think it's going to help. And you're not going to get like a winning formula straight away anyway. You need to be patient. They might as well now because they're joint bottom of the table. Mm-hmm. So they need to settle. And they need to, like, I'm not saying, like, I'm not for pulling the trigger management-wise because he signed so many players, he's responsible for all that change and he obviously needs to embed his ideas, stick with his starting 11 and just batten down the hatches for the next few weeks.
The next few weeks are massive, aren't they? Because they've got four for at home on Saturday, right, which is going to be tricky. We'll come on to our prediction for that in a minute. There's then the international break, right? Then play Cowdenbeath, Huntley at home in the Scottish, Albion Rovers at home.
Yeah.
He needs at least 4 points in the league and to go through in the Scottish, doesn't he? Realistically.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like I say, like the start of the season, you'd be saying you'd be looking to get something away at Forford as well. But definitely.
I had them as well. I had them third in my predictions. You had them fifth, and James had them fifth. So is James's prophecy come a season two? Would it be seen too early? Seen too early, his prophecy would have been winning.
It's just a year out of sync.
So that kind of...
He sent something, though. You definitely sent something.
He did. So let's have a wee look then, kind of flick into the predictions. We'll just round up by saying good win for Elgin. Needed it, didn't they? Especially away from home. And kind of gives them a bit of breathing space, brings the playoffs ever so slightly closer. You know, it builds up 4 points from them in bottom. And it takes them, obviously, to within four of the playoffs. So they're settled in now. Their season can go either way from you.
Yeah, and they're not in too much trouble goal difference-wise. They're pretty...
They're almost even, aren't they? Minus one, minus two.
A couple of wins, three draws, three losses. You know, that was their first win in five, so it was needed. They've got that in them. They've got, you know, beating teams away out of nowhere and turning it around. So I think you can see Elgin going on a run.
We'll stay on them then, because talking of them going on a run, Stirling Albion, it seems like, I don't know about Bill and Kevin Rukovic and stuff, it seems to me like Stirling Albion play Elgin away about 10 times a season. They must have got them in a Betfred, because I'm sure, that, or the Premier Sports, because I'm sure they've been up there already. Elgin hosts Stirling Albion.
My safe prediction would be Stirling Albion, but the way Elgin are, and I've just said that they can go and run, and they've got the potential to like take anyone at home, I think, in the league, even Kelty on their day. So I'll stick with Stirling Albion, but I think it won't be long before we see Elgin a bit of form from them, I think.
I'm going to back you. I think, like you said, they've got their 11 back now, don't they? They've then got the depth. Dylan Beakey looks to have hit a bit of form, actually, for Stirling Albion as well, which it just offers them sheer pace, doesn't it? Which... teams at all levels struggle with, but especially kind of League Two, pace just absolutely kills you. And I like that kind of front three they've got. They've got the pace of BK, Mackin will take it in, hold defenders off, and Flanagan's good 1v1, isn't he? And then they've got the likes of Carrick coming off the bench, Heaver again, more pace, Kieran Moore, Omar. And that win was without Ray Grant or Banner, both sat on the bench on Saturday as well. So they can almost pick and choose their 11 now, depending on the opposition. So I fancy Stirling Albion as well. McGregor, Cummins, McNiff, McGeekie looking good as a back four. So I think they'll push on. Kelty, you spoke about earlier on, Kelty having a relatively tricky game against Annan, but you thought Kelty would grind it out?
Yeah, I think Kelty will grind it out. I think Annan are going well. Anderson's notching a couple of goals for them. Johnson's been good. I think he's chipped in with a couple of goals. Mm-hmm. So they've got potential, like what you could say, like potential match winners in that team. But Kelty be too much for them, and I think the centre half Douglas is going to have to sit that one out. Obviously he'll be suspended, so I don't think they can really, you know, a centre half missing is going to impact them at that level against Kelty. So. I think Kelly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Unless they go away to Forfar or Stirling, maybe Elgin, I don't think you'll get me backing against Kelly too often this season, to be fair. So take that as read, especially at home, backing them. We'll get a relatively straightforward one on form out the way. Edinburgh City hosting Cowden Friday night.
Aye, another tricky one for Cowden Beef. They're suddenly... You know, we were joking before we started the show that the default for Cowden is sometimes like, oh, they'll be all right, Gary Boland, 4-4-2, good experience. Solid signings, Buchanan, experience, they'll be all right. But will they be all right? You know, it's looking a bit dodgy for them. And like you say, there's few worse places they could be turning up in the league right now, form-wise, than against Edinburgh City. So for me, Edinburgh City.
Agreed, especially at home on that surface. I think Edinburgh City will kind of blow them away. It's bad times for the Kingdom of Fife in general, isn't it? Because the Cowden, East Fife and Dunfermline all bottom of the league.
good point.
Kind of a five's and a bit of bother. So then maybe two slightly trickier ones. We've got Stranraer home to Albion Rovers and Stenet at home to Forfa.
I think Stranraer will be sitting looking at that going, right, this is a chance to put like our promising form you know, into action and let's get 3 points in the bag here. Because they have got a little bit of form in the last five games. Like yeah, I said before, you know.
Two wins and a draw out of five, right?
Aye, so they're starting to like throw punches now. Albion are starting to, they're on the ropes a bit, to carry on the boxing analogy. One win and five, four of them being losses. So they're suddenly, after a really kind of like promising start, are starting to drop like a balloon a wee bit. So I think Stranraer, and Stranraer might be decent odds for that at home as well, by the way, so I'll be noting that. I think Stranraer, a tight win though, because Albion can go there and score goals, so it might be a tight one.
It's the lowest scorers against the joint second worst, isn't it? So, but Albion are shipping second worst goals against in the league, so this could be the game that Stranraer find their shooting boots. I'm in agreement with you without just copying you here. I'm back in Stranraer as well. Finally, Stenny v Forfa.
We
spoke about Stenny and Forfa a fair bit. So.
Yeah, and if you sum up the two conversations, it's a Forfa win.
Yeah, no, I agreed. I think they'll be used to the surface as well, won't they? So there are no surprises there. I'm going to play in the past against Stenny. Andy Monroe maybe has a point to prove, going back to his old kind of stomping ground, doesn't he? He'll know that. Well, I was going to say he'll know that team inside out, but the amount of signings they've made, they probably won't. but no, they're two complete opposites. We spoke about it, didn't we? Forfa are now that settled 11, Stenny or anything but. So I'd back continuity there and I'd back Forfa to go there and get a result. So if we basically got... I've almost got the full top half winning apart from Annan. So that'll kind of make that gap between the two even larger if that's the case.
You're already seeing a 4-point gap between fifth mm-hmm. and sixth. So it could be a tale of two halves this season. But previously it's been a bit more of a tightly fire, maybe the bottom three. So
mm-hmm, absolutely. So that means let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Let us know your predictions, or you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Turnstiles. There's a good wee bit of chat in the comments recently, which we're enjoying. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, enjoy the game if you're at one. We'll see you again next week. Cheers.
Cheers.